Well, guys, we are in the book of John, so go ahead and turn to John chapter 9. We're going to be in chapter 9 today. And I'm going to speed through this. Y'all remember those commercials back in the 70s, the Evelyn Wood speed reading courses? This isn't going to be quite that fast. Carlton, you did that? I never got that. I kept hitting a semicolon and tripping over myself. So it was like a speed bump in there. Anyway, we've spent a few chapters in John, and we've been talking about these dialogues that Jesus has been having primarily with the Jewish authorities. But today, we're going to look at an account at the very beginning where he's in a conversation with his own people. I'm going to start in verses 1 through 3. So I'm in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Do you get that? The disciples are stopping and they're saying, "Hey, wait a minute, Jesus, this guy's blind. Was it his sin or was it his parents' sin?" In other words, they, like many, many other people back then and people today, think bad things happen because of sin in their life. In other words, there had to be some kind of sin that made this man blind. Not that it was just a physical disability. It's just that, okay, either he sinned or his parents sinned. And it's an error some people fall into. In fact, we kind of fall into that reverse. You know, I'm a believer. I do all of these things. I go to church, and yet all these bad things are happening. And look at all these bad people. They're doing all these bad things, and good things are happening. God's just not doing what he's supposed to do. Well, Jesus sets them right. This has nothing to do with his sin or the parents' sin. He's saying this is done for the glory of God. And we're going to see why in just a moment. And so I didn't want to spend a lot of time in just this little verse here. So I want to get out of the weeds here, and I want to get to what I think is the crux of chapter 9 and what's going to happen. Because we're going to see some opinions, and then we're going to see the truth. Now, we all have opinions. Some people will come up to ask me, "Paul, what do you think about this? What do you think about this?" I could give you my opinion, but when it comes to theological matters, my opinion really doesn't make a difference. What I have to do is I have to go to see what God says about certain things. "Well, you know, does your church believe this?" Well, my church believes the Bible. So let's see what the Bible has to say, because when we open the Bible, God speaks. It's not my opinion. It's what God says. And so we're going to see three opinions, and then we're going to see God's truth, and we're going to see what happens. So in so much of John's gospel, there's this question of identity. Who is this man? Who is this Jesus Christ? Who is this man that offers living water, that offers the bread of life? Who is this man that causes the blind to see, that causes the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, that raises people from the dead? Who is this guy? You know, is he this miracle worker? Is he this new leader that we want? Is he the Messiah that was prophesied? Who is he? And so we're going to see some different opinions about what's happening here. So let's pick it up in verse 13. Skip all the way down to 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been formerly blind. I just want to stop there for a minute and catch you up on the story. See, Jesus and his disciples, they see this blind man. Is he blind because of his sin? Jesus says, it's not his sin. It's not his parents' sin. Don't worry about it. He's blind because of the glory of God. And we're going to see this in just a minute. And so he picks up some mud, spits in it, takes it, rubs it on the guy's eyes and says, "Go down to Siloam," which means sent. He goes down there, washes off, and comes back. He can see. And they're like, he's like, "Woohoo!" You know, man, his life has completely changed. "I was blind, but now I see." So that was the miracle that took place. Now these other people are walking around, the Jewish people that are in the town, not the leaders, just the Jewish people that are there. They're going like, wait a minute, aren't you the blind beggar? I just gave you money early this morning, right? You know, and you can see now? And he's like, yeah, absolutely, I can see. So they bring him to the Pharisees. They, that's who they are. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been formerly blind. Let's pick it up in the next verse, 14. Now it was on a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Uh-oh. He did this once before. You remember earlier in John? He did something on the Sabbath, and it caused a huge problem for the Pharisees. We are supposed to follow Moses' law. We are to honor the Sabbath. We are to keep it holy. No work is to be done. Right? We find in this text, like the healing of the man at Bethesda, it happens on the Sabbath day. The last time, just like this time, is going to be some problems. Let's pick it up, verse 16 and 17. Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such thing?" And there was division among them. See, here's the first opinion, the opinion of the Pharisees. In other words, Jesus heals this man. They bring this man to them. They're saying, "What happened to you? Weren't you blind?" He goes, "Yes, I was blind. This guy put mud on my eyes. Now I can see." And they're thinking like, okay, instead of seeing the miracle for what it is, this man was blind, now he's made whole. He can go about his life like everybody else. It should be great joy, there should be great celebration, but there's not. The Pharisees are like, you know, we didn't have a part in this. And he healed on the Sabbath, he is not a man of God. But then some other opinions within the Pharisees are saying, well, now wait a minute. How can a sinner do something like this? If he's not from God, how is he healing the blind? And there are some people, remember when they say, you have a demon, you have a demon. Why would a demon bring sight to the blind? And so there's this division that's even going on in the opinions of the Pharisees. You know, some of the Pharisees say, well, he's got to be from God. Some say he's not from God. So there's this division among them, and their opinions are mixed. And that's what we see in our culture, in our lives today. Everybody has these opinions. The opinions are mixed. But opinions, y'all, is what we think. It's not necessarily the truth. You can have an opinion about something, but you could be totally wrong. I can have an opinion about something, and I could be totally wrong. There is a truth. And Jesus is trying to get this point across, and we're going to see how he does that. So we see the opinion of the Pharisees. You got that? Some thinks he's not a holy man, some thinks he is. They're divided, but they're upset that he did it on the Sabbath. So they ask him what he did, said, "This is what he did. He healed me. I can see." They don't want to hear that, and they said, "Bring his parents in." So he brings the parents in. We're going to see the opinion of the parents. This is verses 18 through 21. Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight. And they asked him, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he see?" So they're questioning the parents. In other words, were you blind? "Yes, I was blind." "We don't believe you. Go get your parents." All right, so the parents come in. His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." In other words, they brought the parents in because they were you blind? "Yes, I was blind." "We don't believe you. Get your parents." "Is this your son who was blind?" "Yes, he was born blind. He was blind. We don't know who opened his eyes. We don't know how they got open, but now he can see." All right, so we see the opinion of the parents. And the parents, what is the parents' opinion? It's like, let's put it back on the son. Ask him. And this is why there's fear going on within the parents. I think for some of us, we respond maybe not what we feel down in our core sometimes because we have a fear of man in our lives. In other words, we're not going to stand up for what we know to be true because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, or we don't want to be attacked. Because look at the very next verse. it says this: his parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. In other words, they bring the parents in. The parents are looking around saying, yeah, my son, he can see. We don't know who did it. We're pretty sure it was this Jesus guy, but we are not going to say that, because if we do, we're going to be kicked out of the synagogue. When you get kicked out of the synagogue, then you're like a pariah in the rest of society. It's almost like that coat of shame that when you walk. All of a sudden, you see your friends that you've been close with all these years, and they look at you like, oh, you've been kicked out of the synagogue. And all of a sudden, they start turning away when you come. And so there's going to be this guilt, this picture put on these parents if they say that it was Jesus that did this. So what do? They deflect. We don't really know who did it. We know he was blind, and this is our son. We'll give you that much. But that's as far as we're going to go, because we don't want to lose our position. And so ask him. Now, they already asked him once, and they already didn't believe him, right? So guess what? They ask him again. Okay? They ask him again. The conversation basically, this is what they say, verses 26 through 29. I love this. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? I love that. I've already told you. You didn't believe me. You want to hear it again? It's going to be the same story, right? And it says, and they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, and we are disciples of Moses. You know, I love what he says here. Look at verse 27. He answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? In other words, he's beginning to teach them. I've already told you, this man came. I don't know who the man was, but this man came, and he opened my eyes. And I told you that. You didn't believe me. I brought my parents, like you said. They told you to ask me. You're asking me again. Why? Do you want to be his disciple? Obviously, he can do something. You guys, for all of my life, haven't been able to do anything except to wonder if it's my sin or my parents' sin that caused this. I'm just a blind beggar to you. I am nothing. But now that I can see, now that I have been given new life and new eyes, I was blind and now I see. You want to know why he did this. It was a wrong day. Do you want to be his disciple too? Because I do. And there's this thing that's going on with them. And of course, the conversation devolves into taking sides. You know, he says this. They say this in the scripture, 24 through 25. I think I just read that. Sorry, I'm losing my place. Whether they say like this, for the second time they call the man in, and they say, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. But one thing I do know, I was blind and now I see. What did he do to you? He spit on my eyes, told me to go wash it out. I did. I can see. I've told you this already. Do you want to become his disciples? And they get angry. So the opinion of the Pharisees is some believe that he's got to be some kind of man of God because he did this miracle. Others believe he can't be a man of God because he broke the law of the Sabbath, Moses' law, and we are disciples of Moses. And that's what he says to them. You want to be one of his disciples? No, we're disciples of Moses. Who do you think you are? And when they start their questioning to the man, they say, give glory to God, which means you tell us the truth now. You tell us the truth. What exactly happened? I've already told you guys. You're not listening then. You're not going to listen now. And what happens when you go to someone that's kind of in leadership and you begin to just kind of ask questions? Maybe to get them to see the truth. Maybe their eyes are blind. The conversation devolves into taking sides. The Jews continuing to call Jesus a sinner. The man arguing that God has listened. Jesus must be of God. And if this man was not from God, he could not do the things that he is doing. And we've seen what happens before when the Pharisees begin to lose an argument, right? They resort to name-calling and violence. And they said to the man, you were born in utter sin, and yet you would try to teach us? Who do you think you are? And it makes you wonder, why did they even want to talk to him in the first place? If they didn't want to hear him out, this former blind man is confronting the religious leaders. So we have the Pharisees. Some think he's a holy man. Some think he's not, can't be. The parents are like, hey, we're not going to get involved in this. That's the opinion of the parents. We're just going to let him tell you. If he gets kicked out of the synagogue, no big deal because you guys didn't accept him anyway. I mean, he was blind. He was defective as far as you were concerned. So ask him. That's the opinion of the parents. Now we get to the opinion of the guy. He's like, look, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. Here's what I do know. I was blind, but now I see. Do you want to be one of his disciples? Do you want to be one of his disciples? So we have these three different opinions, the Pharisees, the parents, and him. And then we come to the truth about Christ. Look at verses 35 through 37. They kicked the man out, right? You were born in utter sin, and you would try to teach us, so they cast him out. They kick him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he? You're talking to him. He's the one that when you were blind gave you sight. He's the one when you are hurting, he brings relief to that hurt. He's the one that when you are in despair, he brings hope. The Son of Man. Oh, that's kind of a weird title. It's not just an opinion, it's the truth. And to understand this term, the Son of Man, let's go back to the book of Daniel. And in the book of Daniel, it says this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a Son of Man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him, this is the Son of Man, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages would serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. This is the truth of who Jesus is. Is he a man of God or is he not? The opinion of the Pharisees doesn't even matter. The parents, we don't want to answer because it may incriminate us, so talk to him. Doesn't matter. I don't know if he's a sinner or not. All I know is I was blind, but now I can see. The opinion of the boy really doesn't matter. What does matter is the truth. And what is the truth? That Jesus Christ is the Son of Man who gives life, who gives hope, who gives sight, who renews our strength. So what then should be our response? The response of the man who was born blind is to come and worship Jesus. When he says, who is this man so that I can worship him? He goes, you're talking to him. Wouldn't it be so cool to have Jesus just change our life and say, Jesus, I don't know everything about you, and you know, I wish that we could get closer. And he goes, you know what? You're talking to me. I'm here. We're spending time together. I'm not finished with you yet. There's going to be some more changes in your life. The response of the man who was born blind is to worship Jesus. God had spiritually given him life, and his reaction is, I believe in Jesus, and I want to worship him. I want to worship him. And Jesus says, well, I'm the guy. I'm the guy. So what is our response? How do we apply this to our lives? And I get scared about application because sometimes what we try to do is we exegete the word and then we try to make it fit into something maybe it's not meant to fit in. But I think this story is meant for us to kind of stop and catch our breath and say, we all have opinions about who Jesus is, about what God has done, about what Christ has done, about who he is. But our opinions really don't matter. What is the truth? And when we get down to the truth and we are faced with the truth and Jesus comes into our lives and looks at us and says, I'm he. Do you want to worship me? Do you want to follow me? Do you want to be one of my disciples? Do you want me to give you this life that's everlasting, this life that is filled with abundant joy? Or do you want to just kind of keep guessing who I am and what I'm going to do? And that's the question for us today. Where do we fall on this? Everybody has opinions, but Jesus Christ has the truth. In fact, he says, I am the truth. Jesus says, I am the truth and the way. I am the life, the truth, the way. Well, you know, just my opinion, Jesus, is, man, I would have handled things differently. Aren't there other ways to kind of get to God the Father? Jesus says, I am the way. I'm the only way. Well, my opinion is there should be other ways to get in there. You know, not everybody can deny themselves and take up their cross and do these things. And he's like, I know you can't. And that's why I'm going to be with you. And my Father's going to send the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit's going to help you in times when you need it. It's going to give you power and strength, and you're going to be able to do even more things, more abundant than I've done. Well, I don't know, Jesus. My opinion is, and Jesus, I think, wants to shake us and says, you know what? Your opinion really doesn't matter, because here is the truth. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I'm the way. Do you want to worship me? I want to give us an opportunity to come to the altar, and maybe you've had different opinions about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Maybe you've been praying and you feel like maybe Jesus hasn't answered your prayer because your opinion of Jesus was, you know what, he's this cosmic vending machine. And if I just put in my tithe or offering and I say like a couple words and I hit the button, he's going to answer the prayers the way that I would answer the prayers. And that's our opinion. And Jesus is saying that's not the truth. Maybe you have other opinions. I don't know what your opinion of who Jesus is, but I want to open your eyes this morning to the truth of who he is. This is the man who healed the lame. This is the man who brought joy and restored station to that woman at the well who was just looked upon as just worthless. Here's the man that brought sight to the blind. And here is the man that could change your life, give you hope, give you joy, give you peace. Then we can come back to that first part of the story. Was it this man's sin or was it his parents' sin? And Jesus says, no, it's to bring glory to God. And how did he do that? Well, he confronted three different people with their opinions and even showed the disciples that it's all about him. It's all about him. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time together as we learn about you and your word, and we just thank you for that. Father, we live our lives so much in blindness. We are affected by the world and social media and the news and television and just everything around us, and sometimes, Father, we are blind to the truth. And Father, we just pray today that you would just shake off those scales around our eyes so that we would be able to see you clearly, that we would know the truth, and that truth would set us free. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.